to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening, and welcome back to another adventure in history. I'm Alana Quila with Providence Seaside Hospital, here this evening with Mac Burns, Executive Director of the Clatsop County Historical Society. And tonight we have a very powerful guest. Is that a good adjective?
Maybe. I think it could be.
It's a good adjective.
I think it's going to be a powerful show, and especially since we've had like 2 or 3 weeks of just us, and I've heard there's been all kinds of complaints that we haven't had a guest recently.
Oh, all kinds from your wife and my parents.
Probably. Enough of those two.
Your employees.
That's right. Well, like they listen.
There is one employee that we know who's listening. Thank you for listening.
There is a loyal listener. Yeah.
So, we know who you are.
Yes, and he knows.
Yes.
But other than that, nobody wants to hear me talk anymore.
Right.
Everyone's sick of me.
Well, that's why we brought in a guest. I was thinking of just, you know, he and I could be the hosts, but I don't know.
He's maybe armed, but he's not dangerous.
For us. So there's your tease, folks. You haven't figured it out yet, but we would like to welcome Chief Matthew Workman here from Warrenton Police Department. Thanks for coming over
and talking with us tonight. Mac, I feel very happy to be here, and I don't want to think of myself as dangerous, but I am armed. And I got a lot of pressure since everybody's been giving you a lot of slack about not having guests, and I'm the first guest back, so if I fail, then I guess...
Then it'll make the front page of
that's
something.
Right. You're already doing excellently. In fact, I'm kind of worried I might be replaced.
could be.
So actually, because we got a lot of good stuff, I'm sure, coming up, let's get rid of the history highlights. These are things that happen tomorrow, so you can chat with your friends or make friends. This is a good icebreaker.
It is.
And there's actually a long list for today. This is February 21st, things that happen on this day, February 21st, 1842. The first knowing sewing machine is patented in the U.S.
Oh.
By a guy named John Greenow in Washington, D.C.
Of course, it was a man who patented it.
I bet his wife did it, and then he signed the paperwork or something.
Yeah. Sewing machine, though. That's
but that
one
I thought could almost have been the history highlight.
It's important.
Sewing machines, yeah. Come on. 1878, the world's first telephone directory is issued with 50 subscribers.
I like that.
You had to sign up for it.
New Haven, Connecticut.
That's right. Well, yeah.
I liked that one.
Connecticut.
I had that one.
I would not have guessed Connecticut.
But 50, yeah.
Yeah. 1885, the Washington Monument is dedicated. And we've already established you've never been to the top of the Washington Monument.
I have not.
Have you ever been to the Washington Monument?
To the top.
Base, not to the top. I've been to the base.
Yes, me too.
See, I have bad nightmares. I went when I was a little kid with my parents, and I think we took the elevator to the top, and then we'd walk down.
Oh.
And for a little kid, I kind of feel like those steps were really steep, and they're probably not now, but as a kid, and my memory was it was really crowded, and you had to kind of keep moving, and I was very nervous that I was going to fall.
Sure. It's kind of like the Astoria Column.
That's
different level.
I've actually seen a comparison of the Astoria Column and the Washington Monument, and it looks very puny compared to the Washington Monument. But I have been to the top of the column.
I bet. I never even thought about that. But yeah, those steps make me nervous too.
Those make me very
especially
nervous.
when I took my son Donovan when he was like four.
Yeah. Well, because kids
like
can
open.
Fall through them.
Thank you.
Yes.
And that's what my mind's
doing. I
noticed
that as well when I took our kids up there.
Yeah. I'm like grabbing my kid the entire time.
I have not brought my kids.
All right. Let's see. 1887. The first U.S. state to make Labor Day a holiday Oregon.
No way.
Yes.
Is it really?
Oregon in 1887 says we ought to make Labor Day a holiday.
It does make sense.
You're welcome, rest of the nation.
Yep, it does.
Another reason to love Oregon and why Oregon's better than every place else.
Right.
Okay. Let's see. In 1923, this one I just put in because it made me laugh. André Charlot's musical premieres in London, and his musical is Rats. Is that like the precursor to Cats?
Interesting.
And then is there going to be like a Dogs coming next or something?
Rats?
I don't know. Rats just made me laugh. Apparently it's just me. 1925, the first issue of the New Yorker magazine is published.
Okay. 1925.
1931, Alka-Seltzer is introduced.
Also probably important.
I'm not a fan.
Well, no. It's terrible, but...
I like their ads, but...
Pop fizz.
1948, NASCAR is founded. And I realized I've never actually seen what NASCAR stands for.
Oh, no.
I don't think anybody has. It's the National Association for Stock Car Racing.
Okay.
I don't know how they got the car, because NASCAR, stock car racing, so they kind of like extended the C in the car. Anyway, 1965, Malcolm X is assassinated. Mm-hmm. Great book. Everyone should read the autobiography of Malcolm X. It's a really good book. And the Denzel Washington movie, pretty good, actually. 1970, even though it wasn't made in Oregon. 1972, President Nixon arrives in China for talks.
I saw that.
Because only Nixon could go to China.
Right.
And then our history highlight of the day, not the best thing, but the thing I think had the most impact on history, 1848. Karl Marx publishes the Communist Manifesto.
Mm.
And it's funny because Friedrich Engels kind of co-wrote it, but he never gets the credit.
And then didn't want it.
Maybe he didn't want it. No, I think he probably did want it.
Yeah, at the time.
But inspiring movements that failed throughout the world ever since.
Sure, yeah. It is very important.
1848.
Got it. Good.
Did I miss anything?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, I had some of those too. So it's good.
I'm stunned.
Mac is right, speechless. Well, that's good. It brings us to a good guest that we have tonight.
So tell us about yourself, because let's say I've never been arrested. I've never had you come to my kid's school and talk about public safety. I've never been at a Warrenton City Council meeting. So let's say I've never encountered you before in my life. Who are you?
Well, I'm originally from Nebraska, born and raised.
Go Huskers.
Go Cornhuskers. That's right. Boo Miami. Boo. Alana and I have made bets before on Husker and Hurricane games. So born and raised and graduated from the University of Nebraska with a criminal justice degree. And I was a police officer in Hastings, Nebraska, which is right in the center of the state, a town of about 30,000, 35,000 people. And met my wife there in Hastings. And she is from the Tri-Cities in Washington. And spent summers at a Kiwanis camp and on Mount Hood. So she always wanted to come back out here. And I followed her out here. And we came out here when I took a chief's job in Vernonia.
Vernonia.
Vernonia, yes.
So I didn't realize you came from Hastings to Vernonia.
I did. I took that
what
job in 2004. I guess I should say I became a cop in 1991. Mm-hmm. So I'm in my 31st year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm an old man.
It's just amazing because you look like you're 35.
Right. Well, you are a very good liar, sir, and I like you a lot. So came out here 2004 to Vernonia. And was the chief there until 2008. And I believe sometime in my tenure there, I either met or spoke to you. And I'm not sure if it was the flood of 2007 or when
definitely
all
the flood.
All the coin and everybody else came up and did a lot of media up in Vernonia. And so, so I was chief there till 2008, took the job in Warrenton in that year, October, and been here ever since.
Okay, now we got to dive deeper into a lot of that.
I know. Well, I didn't, coming from Nebraska.
Nebraska, yeah, I got to start with Nebraska.
Sure.
So just talk about a little bit differences between Nebraska, which I don't know a ton, but I spent a lot of time in Kansas.
Sure.
And Missouri. So I assume Nebraska is kind of flat as well.
It is. Well, actually, Nebraska is very, very, very similar to Oregon.
Oh, okay.
Except no mountains, no trees,
no ocean.
Very few rivers, no oceans, no beaches. So other than that, it is the same. So Nebraska is one of those states that, you don't want to, we have a lot of people fall asleep drive off the road because there is just nothing. It's flat and a lot of cornfields, a lot of cows. And I do miss the people there, but I don't miss the weather.
Right.
Snowstorms, blizzards. Tornadoes.
Oh,
and
heat
did
waves.
I mention tornadoes and humidity and bugs? And so I do appreciate, especially living out here on the coast, that we don't have those things.
So because it is so flat, do you think people should just be allowed to drive 150 miles an hour, like the Autobahn or something?
As a police officer, as a 31-year, almost 32-year veteran, no, absolutely not. bad things happen when people drive that fast. But I will say that you can go 75 miles an hour, and it was going to be 85. I don't even know if it's gone up there since. I've been back to Nebraska for a while. But, they do allow people to drive much faster. A two-lane highway is 65 in Nebraska, where here it could never get above 55. And so they do try to make your journey quicker since it is
to
so,
get through it.
Yes, since it can be so boring.
I'll stop suggesting that then.
When you came here, did you come and apply for the job first or did you visit first? Tell us, I mean, because that's such a strange.
Interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. So since we came and visited my, and she's my ex-wife now. We are really good friends. And she actually works at the Clatsop County Sheriff's Office as a corrections deputy. And so we, I guess I'll tell you my family, two kids, one just got out of the military and he's living back home and going to Clatsop Community College right now, using his GI Bill, not sure what he wants to do with his life and where he wants to go. But he was very adamant, I'm not going to be a cop. Because his sister is a police officer in Seaside. She's a corporal down there. And so, and then with my ex being a jail deputy, we have three in law enforcement. He says, nope, no way.
That's amazing.
Not interested. And so, but yeah, so I came out here to Vernonia, and I we actually vacationed out here once. I'm in our records management system for Clatsop County because I lost a camera. It fell off a vehicle. We were visiting the Peter Iredale as a tourist and we stayed in Fort Stevens as a tourist. And I had come out here to, we actually came, you know, over to Astoria as well because of the huge Goonies fans. Yeah. And so we wanted to come and see that stuff. So yeah, I was a tourist here before I ever took the job up here. And I did apply to be the chief and was a finalist here in Astoria. Back in 2000, and I think it was, I was the chief in Vernonia. So it's been around 2006, 7, 8-ish, and stuff, right before they hired Chief Spaulding.
So they made it, even though we like Chief Spaulding, they made a terrible mistake.
Yeah. Oh, no. I would never say they made a terrible mistake. I'm very happy, you know, in Vernonia, or in, excuse me, in Warrenton. And so, but that's how so I applied and eventually made it out here.
Okay. So had you seen the ocean? Had you traveled a lot prior to coming here?
I had not. So the first time I ever saw the ocean, other than was when we came up here as tourists and we came up, we went up to the upper parking lot of Peter Iredale and I almost drove off the dune. It was just something that you can't fathom. Now I've been on a cruise before, on our honeymoon and stuff like that. And that was down in Florida and you don't get to see a lot of the ocean. And then when you're out in the, on a ship, you're just, it's just ocean all around you. Yeah. But it was very neat to come driving up on the top of the upper parking lot there and then
so
to see it for the
ocean.
First time.
In your 20s at that point.
Yep.
I love that that's the first.
Yeah.
The Peter Iredale.
So my parents are from, they lived in Nebraska. My dad's from there. My mom was the same. They came out to visit here in Clatsop County in their 20s, and they were trying to figure out where they wanted to live. They visited Washington. It was rainy and cold. Mm-hmm. Came to Astoria, and it was sunny and warm, and so they moved here.
It never
rains. You've met them, too, of course, big Cornhusker fans. But
so the closest I come to Nebraska is I once was a finalist for the museum in Grand Island, Nebraska, the Steuer Museum.
Yeah.
And thank goodness I did not get hired, or else I might never have been here. And this is where I'm supposed to be.
Longest running director.
So, that's right.
Yeah.
So back, though. So what led you to criminal justice?
Yeah. Interesting story. I guess you could say it was a girl. So I had a girl I had a crush on in high school. And we were just friends, and I was very interested in her. Well, her dad was a reserve police officer in my hometown, Wymore, Nebraska, 1,800 people at the time. So very small town, 45 in my graduating class. So it tells you how small of a school that is. So I was, I asked if I could do a ride along with him just so I could get to her through him or get to know her better, you know, that way. And the first night we did a whole bunch of stuff. I was hooked. I started riding with him all the time and forgot about her. And I was more interested in her dad. And we laugh about it today. I was a greeter in her wedding back in 1989. And I got into it. I guess I must have had something, you know, where I liked criminal justice or being a police officer before that, but because I wouldn't want to just go on a ride along, but that was kind of the thing. I wanted to get closer to her, and then it was like, she's not fun. This is fun. This is what I want to do. And so I went to a community college after that, got an associate's, then graduated from the University of Nebraska at Kearney with my bachelor's degree. And there we are.
Is it as possible, because I've heard a lot of stories about people that go into the career, but the ride-alongs back when I was a kid, Is that still possible, or is insurance and issues made that kind of impossible? Because it's kind of amazing that you could try it out. And
it
see.
Is possible. We have a ride-along program. It was suspended, of course, with the pandemic. And so the only people that we are allow to ride now would be like a college intern or someone that's associated with the department in some way. I have loosened it and let family ride if somebody wants to come ride with their spouse, or you know, if they're old enough. We cut it off at 14, so you got to be 14 or older to ride. But for the public ride-alongs, no, we don't have that program right now, but we will as soon as we get out of this pandemic and start loosening stuff up again. It's just so we have to sign a waiver, and it's a confidentiality thing that says anything you see and you're here, you could you can't talk about or whatever. And then also you have to sign, the waiver says that at any time the officer could drop you off at a public place and leave you. Because if we're going to God forbid, we'd ever have to go to an active shooter or robbery in progress, something like that. Sure. We aren't going to take a civilian right up to the front door with us, and we'd drop them off and, you know, not in the middle of nowhere. They'd be at mini mart or, you know, Walmart or somewhere that were public. We'd boot them out.
And especially today, where they'd have a cell phone and they could call, so they'd get a ride. It's not like they'd really be totally abandoned. So.
And we haven't had to do that, other than I know there have been a couple times somebody been riding and officers in the station. Because when you ride, it's not all about riding. You get to sit and watch them do reports as well, because that's the job, you know, and that's what we want people to understand. Now, yes, when the officers have a rider, they tend to stay out a little bit more and go do a little more and do a little more traffic stops and stuff like that. But it's a great program. I've supported it all along, and at both my departments and in my previous department where I was a sergeant in Hastings, we had the same program as well.
I love that, because I'm one of the kids that I wasted a year of college in the wrong career choice. Mm-hmm. And if that choice can be made before you spend 10 or 20 or 30 grand in college, better to learn it over a weekend of doing a drive along and realizing, hey, this is not the career for me, or yes, this is the career for me. So
What was that first year?
I went to a business school, which is funny because I like a lot of aspects of business, but it was not for me. And history and political science was what really was for me.
That's good. Well, there you go.
So, Alana, what would you have been?
Oh, I knew I wanted to be in journalism.
Journalism.
Yep. So, and I'm not necessarily doing journalism anymore, but I do a lot of writing, and I still speak to people in the public, and I find microphones wherever I go. So I'm still doing some of the things that I learned. Mm-hmm. And yes, we did meet, but you know, we actually met. I'm not going to remember the story. We met prior to the flood. The flood was huge, and yes, we were all up there. But there was something else. It was not good, obviously. But there was a crime that happened in Vernonia, or maybe it was close to Vernonia.
Sure. Such a small little town in the middle of, not nowhere, but in the middle of Columbia County with nothing around it, a lot of interesting things happened there when I was when I was the chief, and continued to happen.
We learned our way around the town and the good little restaurant that was right there in the downtown.
So I had gone to see Shanghai and Astoria before I went through Vernonia. So it was the punchline that Shanghai makes a lot of fun of Vernonia. And then I thought, we got to go see this. And we drove through probably in the first year that we were here. And we were very charmed by the town.
It's so cute.
So talk a little bit about Vernonia.
It's a cute little town. I got a huge, you know, history in logging. It was one of those towns that surprisingly did not totally die, because that town was solely built on a logging industry and had a huge old growth mill, from what they told me, that had handled the huge trees that are, you know, 6 or 8 foot wide. Mm-hmm. And when that all ended, that it survived somehow. And so it's now had to reimagine itself or brand itself. And when I was there, they were trying to do that. And so they were trying to grasp on to having bicyclists. And so it's a very huge destination for cyclists and things like that go there.
Interesting.
And so they've done a good job of doing that. Their population wanes, and it goes up and down, and it's hard because it's a bedroom community. When I was the chief there, there was Portland PD officers, Portland Fire, Tualatin Valley Fire would live there and then just commute down the hill. Of course, with gas and stuff, the commuting became less, so people moved. And then it was also a bedroom community for Intel Industries.
Easy,
so they would come up and from Hillsboro and live up there. And I enjoyed myself there. I miss a lot of the people and things, but you know, I was looking for something a little bit bigger. And then I love it out here on the coast, you know. And it's just the ocean's very therapeutic for me. So, and it's very nice to be an officer, being a chief, because if I'm having a stressful day, I love to go sit and park and just listen. I roll the windows down and just listen to the waves and stuff. And it's just, it's one of those things that really reinvigorates me. So I like it.
Wow, there's a commercial for Warrington.
Multiple marinas to choose from.
So you've mentioned the flood a few times, and I kind of vaguely remember it. So talk just a little bit about the flood, and then we'll get to Warrington.
Well, you guys had a windstorm. And so we had the flood. The very same time, you had all the trees get knocked down, communication, everybody was trapped, electricity. Yeah, so you guys also had a lot of things happen. The very same thing happened, or the very emergency.
Was this the December 07 storm?
Yep, okay, that's it. Gotcha. That's it. And so Vernonia also flooded in 1996, I believe, was a very similar flood. But 80% of the community was underwater, varying heights of water. Some houses, you know, completely up to the rafters, other houses just 4 foot, where they'd have to cut out. It was the oddest thing to go around the houses, and the first 4 foot from floor up of their drywall was all gone, and it was just studs, and because they had to get rid of all of it, and then you had to thoroughly dry it. So it was like that for a few weeks as they were drying things out, because you don't want to put drywall back on and have mold.
They were the first to get the FEMA trailers.
Yes.
Oh. So that was a huge story, because they had the most people in homes whose homes were destroyed. And so it was a visual, right? Yep. I mean, FEMA did bring those trailers out along with their...
Something you only saw in hurricanes. Down in the south, where they set up these little itty-bitty trailers, the narrow, you know, single-wide trailers with a house on each end of it. And yeah, we had a whole area there.
And they also, FEMA sent their representatives, which doesn't always happen. Sometimes you just have to go online and file your claim. So in the media, you actually had folks right there that you could talk to about filing those. And it was pretty devastating, because the school, too, was flooded. Yes. I mean, so everything was destroyed. And for a time there, you guys were completely cut off as well. Didn't you have landslides on both sides, or was it just the one side?
Timber had 26? A landslide, and then Scappoose Vernonia Highway had a landslide, and then Highway 47 was flooded, and then Highway 47 North, then they had problems, because then they had the huge landslide outside of Klatskanai at the same time.
And these were major landslides.
Oh, huge, huge,
So when they finally couldn't get in, it was
So when something like that happens, how much sleep do you get?
Very little. Very little. My officers and I were, we were on separated. So I had two officers that were on that lived downtown, were on the, I guess you would be the southern side, and I was on the north side, and the flood was in between us. So we had, we set up our emergency operations center at the fire department. So I was there a lot of times. Then once the water receded, we then started doing patrols and stuff again. But I got some great pictures and stuff. I made a slideshow and got a whole bunch of stuff, you know, thanking people for all the help, because we had just tons of volunteers and streams of cars coming in and people helping. And, you know, unfortunately, it takes a disaster like that to bring people together, and it takes these type of things. And then, you know, before we went on air, we were talking how, you know, there's such a divide, and yet when something happens, it brings people together, and then we forget and we divide again. And you know, not that I want disasters to happen, but there you know, it does show that there's a resiliency in humanity and how we get together.
And we are a community at the end of the day. It doesn't matter your age, where you're from, your color, your religion, your political affiliation. At the end of the day, it's neighbors helping neighbors, and we ought to do that all the time.
Yep.
It shouldn't take a disaster.
I agree.
So
that would make his job so much easier. He could go enjoy that beach
sit at the
more.
Ocean all the time.
True. Yeah, that's
a little
true.
Bit more.
Some people say job security, though, too.
That's true. So looking back over all of these places that you've worked, do any stories that you can share with us pop up that are maybe a little more humorous that have happened while you're on the job that you can share for a radio?
Some I can probably share, a lot I can't. It's one of those things that being a cop, if you do it as long as I have, you get to see and experience a lot of things, a lot of very positive things. Kind of the reason I, you know, besides the girl, the reason I got into law enforcement is to help people and to be around doing good things. And I can literally say, you know, how many people can literally say they saved someone's life unless they're a doctor, a surgeon, or a paramedic or something like that? So I've had the opportunity to do that throughout my career. you know, both physically save people's lives. But the other thing that I know that I've done is I've had lots of people come up later and say, hey, if you wouldn't have got me out of that domestic relationship I was in, I would be dead now. Hey, if you wouldn't have done that, my kid's this. Or, hey, you saved my kid. Or, hey, you arrested me, but you put me on a different path and stuff. And that's the thing. I've always been very good. And I've always, even my ex-wife always commented that, you know, a lot of officers, when they go out in public, they're always worried about who they're going to run into. And she said, I never worried about that with you, Matt, because whenever we'd go out, no matter if you'd taken them to jail or did whatever, you treated people with respect. They would come up and go, hey, workman, you know, oh, I'm doing good now and stuff like that. And I'm doing okay. And this, or, hey, I remember when you threatened to shoot me in the, you know, and I didn't threaten to shoot anybody, but I was very, you know, as you know, the listeners can't see me, but I'm a very large person. I'm 6'3" and I weigh over 300 pounds. And I wasn't always that big, tall, but it wasn't always that big. But throughout my career, I was never a runner. So if somebody was going to run from me, I would always do the line, hey, you can take off running, but you can't outrun a bullet. You know, not that I was going to shoot them, you know, or anything. But they'd also, they'd laugh at stuff. I used to carry a stuffed pig that I drew on. I got it at like a Joann's. It was just a pig you'd use for a craft or something. And I drew a uniform on him, and I'd have him up on my radar. And when I'd arrest somebody, they'd, oh, you're a stupid pig with a, you've got a stupid pig. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a stupid pig with a stupid pig. And, you know, and so that would break that ice and stuff. So you got to, again, it goes back to respect and humanity. And I've always prided myself that if I see somebody out there, they're not, you know, I want to beat him up because of how he treats me. Because I always treat everybody with respect.
It's good.
Well, so just in case people don't know, how large is the police force and how many folks do you have working with you? And
so we have 12 sworn. That includes me. So I'm approved for 11 officers and myself. We've only done that in my whole career here.
Which you've advocated for.
Once. We were for like 6 months, we had 12 officers. And so we're too short right now. And we're in the hiring process. I'm doing some backgrounds and things like that. And so we're a small community, limited resources, but we do what we can with what we have and try to be a community policing. I that's the other thing I want to get out of this pandemic so bad, so we can get out and do things again with people and do the events and things like that.
And you've added detectives. I mean, that was kind of crucial within the last
decade.
That
was very crucial. And we don't have major cases, but we have a lot of little things that go on. And a lot of things that that position is very important for.
Sure.
Plus, they're part of the major crime team, and we are now able to contribute to that, where in the past we haven't been able to because we didn't have a detective.
Yeah. And then you have two on. Is it always two on?
We try to have two on. I count in the morning, so we would have had one on until 11. Then, like I say, I have two officers on now. And then, but we try to have two on until like 3 a.m., and then we drop down.
It's important.
So besides the ocean, what's your favorite thing about living here in Warrenton, and why do you stay?
So it's funny, coming from Nebraska, I was always a huge steak and meat and potatoes man, and not a real big on seafood. Of course, seafood there was always frozen you know. When I started eating fresh seafood, I was hooked. So I love the fresh seafood out here. I also love the river. It's a different type of recreation than the ocean, but those are two of the things that I really like.
That's great. We're so glad Fantastic. You're part of our community, and thank you for your service.
You bet.
We appreciate having you here.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
I feel like you could come back 2 or 3 times. We have a lot of stories we could get.
We could.
We'll go make some history and make sure you obey all the laws in Warrenton, especially. And we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.